Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Sitting in the morning sun, I'll be sitting when the evening comes.
We're back. It's 12 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for hanging around with me. Josh Feinberg is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. Josh is an old friend of ours. He's the author of What Your Computer Consultant Doesn't Want You to Know. And looking forward to getting Josh back on the show so he can tell us a little bit about what's going on. Josh, welcome back.
Thanks for having me, Jim. My pleasure to be back.
It's good to have you back, as always. And one of the things I know you've got on your mind, Josh, is talking to us about some of the what some of these people who've lost their technology jobs should do with themselves. You got some ideas about that, don't you?
Yeah, there's been a tremendous amount of really talented IT people over the past year or two who are losing their jobs, as a lot of IT jobs, especially in programming and software development, are going overseas, and a lot of them come to us for advice and assistance on moving into consulting, moving into having their own small business, providing IT services for other small businesses.
Right. And, well, you know, I actually know some of those people. I know some people who, over the years, you know, they didn't necessarily work for a big company, but they worked for some companies, and they lost their jobs, and they've actually started their own technology business, their own technology consulting business.
Yeah, it can really be a heck of a lot of fun. The challenge for a lot of these folks is they have really great technical skills, but a lot of times they're brand new to owning their own business, and that's where we step in and provide a lot of assistance with the marketing and getting organized and setting up maintenance agreements and things along those lines.
Well, and you know, I got to be honest with you, Josh. You know, I suspect that you're gonna agree with me about this. I know a lot of techies, and they're not. I'm not going to say that they're not good people, because they are good people, but their people skills typically are a little I usually find them a little bit wanting. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely, absolutely. But it's nothing that can't be remedied, because sometimes the people skills are really good and they just never really thought through from end to end. Maybe they're charging way too little, or maybe they should have looked for clients that need more steady work, or maybe they should have structured things a little differently, or maybe they shouldn't have done 100 of hours of work before they asked for a deposit or something like that. There's a lot of things
exactly
that can be pretty painful to skin your knees on if you're not doing right the first time around.
Well, and some of those things, Josh, are really kind of mechanical, organizational things that you can fix, but I guess what I was thinking about is you know, a lot of techies just want to be working on their computers, and they just want to be doing the work, and the part about, you know, making sure you keep the customer happy and give them exactly what they want, and having to, you know, sometimes you have to take stuff that you'd rather not take when you want to be in business for yourself, and that's one of the big lessons that I think they need to learn.
Yeah, that's important. And then the other thing that a lot of people overlook is demand generation. Where are you going to find the decision makers? Where are you going to find the people who can hire you for the right kinds of consulting jobs? Because a lot of people spend time copying, frankly, the wrong people, and they end up advertising in a lot of very retail-oriented places, and they wonder why they get one phone call a month from someone who's got a stuck AOL disk in their computer. And it's like prying open with a 2,000-pound crowbar to get them to pay $100 for a service or something like that. So we get them steered back in the right direction to make sure they're going out to the right groups and doing the right kind of marketing and qualifying properly and taking people through the sales process.
Absolutely. That's something that you got to do. Let's start with let's just get started with somebody comes to you right now, Josh, and he says, "Look, I'm a double A. Isn't that the certification? Double A or?"
A plus is one of the that's basic hardware certifications.
That's what I was thinking about.
Yeah,
A plus and all the other certifications. I got all the certifications. You know, there's nothing I can't fix. I'm a networking expert. I'm a wireless expert. I got all the good stuff here, but I'm out of work, and I need to convert all this knowledge into opportunity. I really want to be my own boss. I want to run my own company. I'm putting myself in your hands, Josh. How do I do it?
Well, the first step, unfortunately, we're going to jump past in this case, but what I usually advise people when they come to us while they still have a job is to start doing some moonlighting while they still have the security blanket of a full-time IT job. But if that's not the case, then the next thing really is to work on developing your plan of attack so you know how to get through your first-year startup hurdles, which is a lot about putting together a basic business plan, figuring out what kind of overhead you're going to have to incur, figuring out your expenses, figuring out what you need to charge to come out ahead. The next thing really, though, has to do with business development, getting your name out there, getting in front of the right small business decision makers that need lots of services on a regular basis that are strong buyers of premium IT services. And then really the third thing beyond that is to figure out how you're going to build a virtual IT company so you essentially become the IT department for these small companies so you can get steady small business clients that are delighted with you for years to come.
Haven't we just scratched the surface in small businesses needing to be able to rent an IT department?
Absolutely. It's interesting that this has kind of come full circle back in 98 and 99 and 2000 between Y2K-related things, between the Telecom Deregulation Act, between a whole bunch of other things that were going on. It was very difficult for small businesses to find a lot of IT consultants that were available, and sometimes you had to call a ton of people and place a ton of phone calls just to get one to return your call. Now the supply-demand equation has shifted a little bit more in favor of small businesses, but the best part is there's now a lot of really talented people available.
Absolutely.
And the challenge a lot of times is just figuring out small businesses that are the right kinds of consumers of these services so that's worth engaging with them. A lot of times for IT consultants, they're linked to take on anything that comes their way when they first get started. That's okay, but realistically, if you're looking at your average customer is doing $200 a year, it's very difficult unless you're doing the kind of scale of a CompUSA or Dell or Gateway or something like that to ramp that up into a professional services business. A lot of times it's a matter of finding small businesses that are big enough to have a lot of computer problems but not nearly large enough to be able to put an IT person on payroll 40 hours a week. And there's a big space there.
It seems to me what they've got to do is if you're going to be successful and you want to take on a broad range of customers, you're going to have to leverage yourself with other people. You can't be 100% extension of yourself. And if you want to be more of that, you don't want to manage as many people. You want to keep your operation small. You've got to find those customers that are willing to pay for the premium kind of capability that you bring them, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And a lot of being successful in this space is by setting up relationships with other technology providers, mm-hmm. other CPAs, other various business consultants in your area, so you can trade leads back and forth, so you can bring each other in on different engagements. A lot of people that specialize in setting up networks, for example, do real well partnering up with accounting software providers. A lot of times CPAs or non-practicing CPAs who install something like Microsoft Great Plains all day or Math 90 or something like that all day, they're great on the software, but they need people who can help them with the infrastructure.
Right. Josh, stand by. Folks, we're visiting with Josh Feinberg. He's the author of What Your Computer Consultant Doesn't Want You to Know. And we're talking, when we come back, I'm going to get Josh to talk to us about how to prospect for a business like we've been talking about. 20 after. Stay with me. We'll be right back. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thank you very much for joining us and for staying with us today. Josh Feinberg is our guest. He's the author of What Your Computer Consultant Doesn't Want You to Know. Josh, give us your website, please.
ComputerConsulting101.com. ComputerConsulting101.com. And on that website, you can sign up to get a free hour of training to help you prospect and find the right kinds of clients and develop service agreements and everything that really goes into jump-starting a computer consulting business or small business.
Wow. I'm glad I didn't know about that hour of free training. I've got a friend I need to tell about that. Seriously. He would love to be able to do what we're talking about right now.
Yeah, it's called 5 Easy Ways to Grow Your Computer Consulting Business, and you can sign up for that for free online at ComputerConsulting101.com.
Well, I've been trying to help him a little bit, but I'm not the expert in this part of the certainly in this part of the world, especially with regard to being a computer consultant and being in business doing that. Let's talk a little bit about prospecting. Help us out, folks, one of the things that I'd like to point out is it's probably not an awful lot different about prospecting for the business you're talking about, Josh, and regular prospecting.
The only thing that's a little bit different is it's primarily a B2B focus. You really want to be connecting up with small business managers and small business owners. And for most people in this space, what works very well, if you're not at the stage that you have a full-time salesperson working for your full-time sales staff when you're just getting started, usually the best thing is to join and get active in a number of local organizations. And there's a couple different organization types that work out real well. Of course, the general business organizations like a Chamber of Commerce. There's lead-sharing organizations, something like a BNI or LATIP or something similar to that, passing leads back and forth. And then what also works really well for a lot of small business computer consultants is IT-related groups, like user groups or consulting-related groups, where you'll get to meet other IT people and other computer consultants in your area for trading leads back and forth and meeting specialists and things like that. And then, of course, there's the traditional civic and type groups like Rotary and things along those lines. But the key thing for most people is usually get active in four or five groups that you can go to a couple times a month to various networking events and get your name out there.
Shouldn't they also not presume that the big companies wouldn't need them? I mean, you know, I know lots of big companies who have outstanding PR departments, and yet they still hire outside PR firms to help them out. I mean, why wouldn't they do this? And I know they do it with technology.
Yeah, there's a couple of things that tend to come up that make small business a little bit more attractive of a target market. For starters, when you're looking at selling a much larger company, there's a lot longer sales cycle and ends up a lot of times being much more political. But all in all, though, most companies that have in-house IT that outsource are typically looking to outsource specialists, very deeply niche specialists.
Right.
And most of the folks that approach small businesses are really great generalists. It's like the difference between going to someone who's a cardio surgeon versus going to your internist. Most of the people that work with small companies tend to be really great general practitioners. They know a little bit about a lot of different things. They're really resourceful, and they know who to bring in for specialty tasks.
Wouldn't you say that one of the most important things that an IT consultant would need to know for small business would be the networking part?
Absolutely, and it.
I don't mean we're not talking about networking for prospecting. We're talking about the networking of computers and the wireless connections and that sort of thing.
Yeah, actually, they're probably just both just as important, because the primary thing that most small businesses are hiring you for, and where they start to when a lot of small, really, really small companies, when you're talking about someone that's either a home-based business or just a handful of employees, they'll try to get by using volunteers or moonlighters or something like that. It's usually when they outgrow a simple peer-to-peer network and they start to put in their first real server that it becomes a lot more important to have a professional there to make sure the security is set up correctly, to make sure it's reliable enough, backups being done, antivirus, firewall, everything else that goes along that. But both types of networking are extremely important. It's really important from a business networking perspective to get out there and meet lots of small business decision makers and potential business partners, CPAs, and other deeply niche technology providers. But yeah, of course, in terms of the skill set, being able to set up simple local area networks and wide area networks and wireless networking, Wi-Fi is real big right now. That's very important too.
Absolutely, and Joshua, I'm thinking of my own self, our own company. You know, I don't want to be a techie. I just want my stuff to work, and when I want it to work, I want it to work well, and I just want to be on and working. And I want somebody to come and fix my stuff when I need it to be fixed. And I'm willing to pay a premium for that availability. And I think that there are more and more companies, more and more small companies, that are willing to do that. If, as long as I can rent you, I don't have to adopt you.
Yeah, and that's the way it usually ends up going, is that the computer consultants that are looking for prospects like this, and the business owners as well, they're typically looking for someone to fill a gap in between doing it themselves and putting a full-time IT person on payroll, because realistically, it's still a pretty big expense to put an IT person on payroll, and then you got to take care of training and certification and benefits and everything along with that. Usually what ends up happening for a solo practice computer consultant is they essentially become the part-time IT manager for 8 or 10 or 12 or 15 or 20 local companies in their area. That's essentially a shared resource.
Right, absolutely. Joshua Feinberg, give us your website again, please.
ComputerConsulting101.com. ComputerConsulting101.com.
And don't forget that free 1 hour of training, of prospecting training that Joshua was offering. Josh, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll talk to you again another day.
My pleasure. Thanks again, Jim.
Joshua Feinberg, ladies and gentlemen, the author of What Your Computer Consultant Doesn't Want You to Know. Quick break, 29 after. I'll be right back with Brian Tracy. He's got a new book out called Million Dollar Habits, Proven Power Practices to Double or Triple Your Income. I'm in for that. How about you? Stay with me. I'll be right back.
We skip the line.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.